I'm Chinne Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
You're now listening to the California Golden Bearcast, a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This episode is brought to you by Indeed and Bet Online. And welcome back to the Golden Bearcast, where we are going through our Pac-12 opponents. Little 30-minute quick hit podcast, just talking about the opponents who are playing, what their fans or their beat writers are thinking about their team and where it's going to go this year with just a 6-game schedule. And today's episode is all about the Oregon Ducks. And of course, I have a best friend of mine from the Quack 12 podcast, Adam. Adam, how are you doing this afternoon? Noon? Yeah. It is noon. It is exactly noon.
In quarantine times, time doesn't really matter. So, I'm doing great, and I'm so glad to be on the pod. We were discussing, I forget if I've been on the pod or not before, but we are definitely, I'm glad you changed it from Quack 12 opponent to friend, because I would definitely say we're frenemies, these pods.
We are. We are.
So many Duck fans love the Golden Bears because there hasn't been too much heat between them the last couple of years,
yeah.
And what you've done to UW is just beautiful. Like, those have been some of my favorite games these last couple of seasons.
Yes, is what you guys do to Stanford too. It's like, that's, you know, we help each other out. We help each other out a little bit. So
you got the same enemies, and I do love
exactly
that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know,
and you got at Phil least, Musgrave. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, we have Wilcox. We have Musgrave. Yeah. We got a bunch of connections there.
Yeah,
between the Oregon Ducks and the Cal Bears. I mean, for me personally, you know, I'm a Chargers fan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having Justin Herbert as the quarterback, it's like, I guess I have to root for him now.
Yeah.
I don't really have a choice.
Well, and this is NFL Justin Herbert. Like, he's really showing up. He's making
different.
He's making a lot more Duck fans be like, okay, let's look at this Marcus Arroyo situation again. What was going on here?
I mean, to be fair, Marcus was I think he was an offensive coordinator for us back in the early mid 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think Cal fans definitely have some. I think they have some bad memories of his play calling. I mean, we'll get to it. And I think Ducks fans are probably a little bit more excited with their new offensive coordinator. So let's get to it. Let's get right to it. Adam, you're replacing your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of talent you guys have brought in over the last however many years, right? I guess it even starts with Willie Taggart, like from there building to now, like the amount of talent you guys have brought in is pretty significant. Like, do you think that you're replacing a lot, or there is enough talent there to just plug and play?
Well, in a normal season, I'd be like, we are ready to plug and play. We are good. Like, the talent level is higher than it's been in many, many years. Like, even comparing to some of our most successful seasons under, like, Chip Kelly, like, the talent level is higher there right now. That being said, with the strange world that we live in right now, we are definitely, you know, the right spot. Either if someone has to sit out for quarantine reasons or for just natural football injury reasons, we still have some keystones where it's like, you know, like nose tackle, like if Jordan Scott were to go, like that would be pretty scary. Same with the center. Actually, that center position, I'm a bit afraid of. We have really promising wide receivers, returning wide receivers, and then, which are most likely going to be our starters, we have quite a few fresh faces for the receivers, but it's still a roll of the dice to determine, because that has been a position of weakness for a while. So I'm not sure if plug and play is, it's all up in the air is what it feels like. When we're talking about the quarterback, though, I do think there's a lot of well-earned optimism around Tyler Shuck, even though there's not a whole lot of film to watch of him. Not a whole lot of meaningful film anyways. You know, the kid's played about like, it looks like five games. He's had like 53 snaps under his belt, three touchdowns. Most of that is in garbage time. He's a redshirt sophomore, just been sitting behind Justin Herbert for a while now. And I mean, I have a hard time wondering, is it the Duck Homer in me being like, oh, Tyler Shuck's ready. Tyler Shuck. I mean, he's definitely QB1 right now, we know. But is he going to be a good QB1? It is still absolutely a coin flip. So I guess the long answer or the short answer will just be hope so. Hope it's just plug and play.
Well, I mean, you did talk about, I mean, I asked you about the quarterback and you talked about some of the other positions and you talked about center. And I guess the line that's protecting Tyler Shuck for this season that's a little bit of an unknown too, right? Because you lose Penei Sewell, who is arguably he could have won the Heisman if, you know, it wasn't so skewed to an offensive position. And so you lose him, who is probably going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft, top one if I dare say top one if it wasn't Trevor Lawrence available in this draft. So if that's the case, like, are you guys, do you think there's going to be a massive shuffle and just an opening up of, hey, it's a clean slate, especially with the new offensive coordinator. You guys are going to be able to play for playing time, or are they going to take the seniority approach and maybe use some of those guys that have more experience?
Well, first of all, we're hoping Chargers get a high enough pick that they get a Penei Sewell, Justin Herbert. Sounds pretty good. Huh?
It's possible. Right now, we're 1-4 or 2-4 now.
I know. Like hopefully Herbert keeps looking amazing, but losing these
clubs. Yeah.
I don't know. But anyways, you know, there was a moment on the Quack 12 podcast. We had our friend Gaby Lucas, another friend of me. She's a big time a Husky fan. And she really splashed some water on our faces because she goes like, why are you all so like set and done, ready to say, oh, this offensive line is ready to take over? It's like you are replacing all five starters. There is no world where you just should just be like, oh, it's all there. The chemistry is good. So that being said, the reason why, yeah, I know, right? The reason why so many of us are excited is because the five players that are coming in are all have some experience under the belt, whether it's at the JUCO level, like we're looking at, like, it looks like left guard, TJ Bass, who was a very promising JUCO from Butte College, and then looks like right guard Malasala Amavelau, who was the number one JUCO at his position. He will be taking right guard. He's a redshirt junior. TJ Bass is a junior. Alex Forsyth, who's definitely been around the program for like quite a while, redshirt junior, was just outside of kind of that being a starter because, again, last year, the people we're replacing here, we're replacing like four-year starters. We're replacing an Outlander Trophy winner. There's no replacing Penei Sewell. Like, that is a downgrade. In his position is Stephen Jones, who did get some playing times. He's had about four games under his belt, 63 snaps. Stephen Jones is a redshirt sophomore. We feel pretty comfortable with him at the left tackle. And then George Moore, who's been around forever, a senior, 6'6", 325. He's the right tackle. And when you look at the size of these guys, it may not be an upgrade in skill yet. We're not quite sure. It may not be. It's definitely not. It's definitely a downgrade in experience. But the size of these guys are potential starters here. 325. 325, 305, 320, 340. That combined with Cristobal's expertise in being an offensive line guru, us wanting to use the strength of this offensive line, there's definitely a lot of reason to be excited. Where Oregon could definitely slip up is just, I mean, they haven't actually played against other defenses. And however, I'm excited to see, I mean, how many defensive lines on our schedule in 2020 in the Pac-12 are really going to be able to take advantage of that lack of chemistry. There are some that can. Maybe Cal. Cal could, you know, who knows? Who knows? So there's reason to be excited. The size, they definitely, there's like quite a bit of 4 stars on this offensive line roster here. But if you hear an Oregon fan being like, oh, there will be, there's no step down. They are ready. It's an improvement. Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I mean, it's sounding, you know, like a lot of Pac-12 schools where this season is kind of like a pseudo preseason for 2021. Like you're prepping yourself up, you know, with the 6-game or 7-game experience to make an even better or bigger jump. You're expecting a bigger jump going into next year than you are going into this year. Am I reading what you're saying kind of correctly? Like you're more optimistic for 2021 than you are for 2020.
Well, for many reasons, hopefully.
Yeah.
I will say it because Oregon Duck fans are now in like, again, ridiculous expectation modes. We used to be like that. And then 2016 happened. We had to all reset, you know. So, I mean, you know, you do still have people calling out like Oregon to the playoffs, you know, which is kind of nuts because that would assume that we don't get a game canceled, that we don't lose, that we win every single game. And so there are some of those expectations, which probably isn't helping any Duck fan right now, any Duck player or anything. But yeah, when you look at 2021, I mean, there's definitely reason to be very excited. So many of our new players will finally have experience. Obviously this offensive line will all of a sudden be basically a veteran unit, a very, very big veteran unit. And Tyler Shuck will have another year under his belt. We'll have a very, very good recruiting class coming in, currently at number 3 in the country, which is something I never thought I'd say. And yeah, so we're also very excited for 2021 when there's less crazy stuff going on. Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
When we can go to the stands. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything that you could possibly think of. I mean, with that, just to close out the offensive side of the discussion, you guys have a new offensive coordinator in. I mean, judging by that, I mean, it's the same case with us, right? We have a new offensive coordinator in. We had 4 spring practices, but we haven't been able to go and see practice. At least the beat writers haven't over their prep going into this season. So we have no idea what type of offense Bill Musgrave is even going to run at Cal. Like, do you guys have any sense of like what type of offense you guys are going to be running with Moorhead like there, and you know, his maybe style of play calling? Is it going to be very similar to his past stops or something drastically different? Like, what have you learned so far?
And obviously, you know, we're having kind of the same thing where we get practice reports, but there are less people available to watch these practices. We just had to cancel a couple of practices because of 5 false positives. Thank God they're false. But that being said, it still seems like Joe Moorhead's strengths throughout his career has been his adaptability. You know, like Mississippi State, there was a whole lot of reasons why he got fired that didn't have to do with per se his ability to build an offense. So what I will say is what it seems to be is a lot of what Joe Moorhead had success with, which is using the talent that he had to gain that advantage, whether it was like a solid offensive line, which he didn't have a lot of times at Penn State, and he would pivot in Penn State and use his skill players to really make something of it. A lot of like 11 personnel, really playing a lot of that. And it appears this is probably also in part to a shortened practice time that it's not going to be a drastically different offense, I would say, than last season. We're still going to see a lot of like pistol. We're still going to see some like offset running backs. It appears to be the same. What all Duck fans are really hoping is that there's just going to be a better utilization of the talent, and that hopefully we can still, even with a less gelled offensive line, using even just the size and the skill of those guys to really, I'm guessing, still force a downhill running mentality That's definitely going to be it. Still going to be a ton of RPOs coming out. And again, because that's what Tyler Shuck has been practicing for years now at Oregon. I'm feeling pretty confident in an upgrade of Moorhead being an upgrade of what we had. And because if you're looking for the most complaints from Duck fans, and we do love to complain, it'll all be from it was Marcus Arroyo last year. Whether that's fair or not, who knows? But I think there's going to be an improvement. There's going to be us taking advantage of some of these skill advantages that we have. And you know, hopefully the sophomore Tyler Shuck is ready to step into that role.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's safe to say they, you know, you guys might have the most it's weird because I feel like we return the most experience, but continuity wise, it kind of looks like Oregon might have the best continuity on the offensive side of the ball going into the season. So 2020, man.
Yeah, it's so strange because it does feel like the most continuity. And with receiver, it looks like we're playing like we're even moving Micah Pittman from slot. It seems like he's going to be a wideout, which all of a sudden, so we have much like almost like a old school, like older Arizona team, much smaller, faster receivers. And I think for any kind of size, I think we're going for tight end, and we are very, very excited. Fingers crossed. For Cam McCormick, seems to be the full package. It's just the last two seasons he's missed due to an injury in week one, I believe, in the first drive. And then the season after that, preseason injury that took him out the whole season. So between like Spencer Webb, Cam McCormick, our veteran receivers, which seem to we know what we're getting out of. I'm excited about this offense, despite, again, replacing all five offensive linemen. I'm hitting that point hard.
Yeah,
in case
yeah,
things that's, don't turn sour.
That's the point of emphasis there.
Yeah.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's Blue Wire, all one word, Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. That is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire.
Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll flip on to the other side of the ball, which is your defense, because, I mean, this is a defense that's built, I think, from the front to the back, right? It's built, like, just like your offenses. It's built about the guys in the trenches in that front seven. particularly, I think even more so because you guys lose Javon Holland, who opted out and is not coming back for this season. You did get some guys back. I think Brady Breeze was one of the guys that came back.
Actually, so Brady Breeze is still out. He's still out. But
D'Amador
Lenore.
Lenore came back.
That's right. After declaring for the draft, seeing, you know, I believe it was after realizing we were going to play football, he decided
to come back. Yeah. Yeah. So you guys thought you were losing a bunch. You at least got one back in. Let's start from the front, like that front seven, especially behind, you know, former number one recruit Kayvon Thibodeaux, like who is monster. Oh my goodness.
He's scary.
He's legitimately a scary, scary player. how much of a step forward do you expect that unit to take in terms of their production? I mean, you guys still, despite having, you know, Kayvon, who was a true freshman, like opponents, you held them to 16.5 points per game last season. That was good for ninth in the entire country, which is outstanding. And then defensively, like first downs, you only gave up, I think, a total of 19.1 a game, which is, I think that's outstanding.
I think that's pretty good too.
Yeah. Rushing wise, 3.3 yards a carry. Pass yards is 220 yards a game. Only 1.3 touchdowns per game passing and 0.4 touchdowns per game rushing. Like that's what you guys gave up.
I'm part of that as a fan too. I take credit for that.
Yeah.
The D-line is one of the most sure things for this Oregon Ducks squad. And again, like, this is why people are, one of the reasons why people are crazy about Cristobal is even under Chip Kelly, line play was not what Oregon was known for. We were like, wow, look at, it's amazing that they can get so much offense despite this offensive line being, you know, like a lot of three stars, a lot of gems. This is just him completely rebuilding both the D-line and the offensive line to just go out and get premier talent and really mold it. That being said, one of our stars, the one, the only, Jordan Scott, a.k.a. Fat Mac, 311 right now, weighing in at 311. He's trimmed down. So he's kind of the keystone of this. He is the nose tackle. Then we have Austin Falu, who's a senior. And then, obviously, Kayvon Thibodeaux, who's a sophomore, who's playing like a senior right now. So that's the D-line. It is mainly, you're mainly going to see, it is a 3-3-5, but very regularly you're seeing a four-man front because you got the stud position, who is Mace Funa, who had a very good freshman campaign. I expect him to definitely not regress, so most likely improve, you know, from freshman to sophomore season. Mace Funa plays this stud position, which is like outside linebacker, defensive end combo, usually attacking the quarterback, but sometimes, you know, he'll go laterally to stop a run. He can even like cover a pass or two. So that is the staple of this D-line. We've got, I mean, more than serviceable backups. We're excited to see Brandon Dorlis, Keon Ware Hudson, Popo Amave is a redshirt junior who's just been a staple for this program. The talent and the experience is in that line. Couldn't be more excited for that. It's going to be tough to run. And then when you look just the back to back up there, looking at the linebackers, you still have that experience. You got Isaac Slade-Matotia taking over for the one, the only Troy Dye, who is finally out of the program onto the NFL. Amazing dude. Drew Mathis, people are saying, he is a senior. It will be taking over that linebacker position next to him. But obviously, who fans are most excited for are the 2 5-star freshmen. That is Noah Sewell and Justin Flo. And I think like Kayvon Thibodeaux, we'll probably see them worked in throughout the season. Maybe sooner than later, since it's only, you know, 7 games. But very excited about that front seven. I mean, I don't think there's a reason not to be, really.
Yeah, I mean, you saw we talked about the production that they had, and it's pretty evident that, you know, since there's a lot of young guys there too, like, you're going to expect that growth. Like, I mean, I hate to keep talking about Kayvon Thibodeau, but like he's a true freshman on defensive line, and mm-hmm. he had 9 sacks and 14 tackles for a loss last year as a freshman if my memory serves me correct, like didn't even start like right away. Like he was kind of eased in, and yet he ended up with that stat line, which
exactly you saw him basically like early on, you know, they would pepper him in there and you would see him. He would have the speed to fly basically behind the quarterback. They would still be able to defend him, not quite turning in there. He didn't quite have the strength. And then throughout the season, you saw that line like get, you know, straighter and straighter to the point where he was just bull rushing straight to that quarterback. And I mean, and not only that, but he just got so many amazing plays. Like even against in the Pac-12 championship against Utah, he made that amazing, amazing block of the punt. And it's been really impressive to watch. And I think that's why we're so excited to see these other 5 stars potentially, I don't know, be something like him. We're even though Oregon's known for, you know, having this pretty amazing recent past, we're still not used to having 5 stars on the roster, let alone make immediate impacts like that.
Yeah, the talent is definitely there. I guess from that, I guess we'll move back to the back end, to the defensive backs. I mean, of course, Holland was an outstanding DB. Who are you looking at the roster that you think might replace him? And what do you think about that DB group in general for this year?
Yeah. So I will say another player who has left, and this is a big one. The reason why we went from like, oh, this could be the best secondary in the country to this secondary could be the best in the Pac-12 if everything works out well, is Thomas Graham Jr., who was a starter ever since he was a freshman, was planning on coming back to be for his senior season. He has left the program. Yeah, he's going to focus on the NFL. And like we said before, Diamador Lenore left for the NFL, decided to come back. Javon Holland also left for the NFL. Good for him. Go get your money. It seems basically set in stone at this point. Jamal Hill, the sophomore, measurable is about the same as Javon Holland, actually. 6'1", 200 pounds. He was a 3-star, but Cristobal keeps saying that, like, this dude is a gem. Like, he is going to blow up. He is taking over that spot. And behind him, it appears, maybe Jordan Happel, who just transferred from Boise State, so obviously he played under Andy Avalos quite a bit. He knows the system really well. And so that was actually a really good pickup. We're very excited about that. But Jamal Hill seems to be the man who's going to replace Javon Holland. Brady Breeze, no longer in the program. It's Verone McKinley, the redshirt sophomore, who's a veteran player, really has gotten a lot of time already. He will replace Brady Breeze, it looks like, for that kind of field side safety. The boundary safety will be Nick Pickett, who had that role last time. Diamador Lenore is, of course, our cornerback, just stepping right back into that position. And then as far as who's going to replace Thomas Graham Jr., Mikhail Wright was already the third kind of cornerback. And as a freshman, there's already so many people being like, oh, that guy's going to be, if you already didn't have these vets locking down basically every snap, he would be in a position. He would be playing right now. And so we're not too afraid of that. Obviously, our depth at the in the secondary in general has taken a step back. So we may be relying on like freshman Dante Manning, who, if you're going to rely on, you know, like take a risk on somebody, it's a high rated guy like that, a 5-star, like mm-hmm. There's at least that. And so it's a group where I'm a little less sure on, but still, I mean, compare it to so many other Oregon teams in the past. It's more talented, and there's just about as much depth as there's ever been. So,
well, I don't have much to say on that because I think you guys are going to be just fine from a talent standpoint. So,
I hope so. I mean, from a talent standpoint, sure. It's like if something goes wrong, it's not because the talent isn't there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I guess the not the last point, but the third group that I guess we should kind of talk about at least a little bit is the kicking, right? You guys do have Camden Lewis.
Bless his heart.
Is looking at stats from last year, extra points 57 of 59, field goals 9 of 14, with a 64% percentage, accounting for 84 points last season. So, is Camden Lewis, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is only a sophomore, so he'll probably retain his spot. Do you have any issues with the kicking or punting?
Well, if you remember the Oregon Washington State game, which was just that last second, like really coming down to it, you'll notice, even though I forget exactly where we were, like on the 10-yard line or something, like right there, you'll notice when they were panning over all the Duck fans and they were panning over the players, like there was a sense of like, oh God, we're about to lose this game. We were trailing by 1 point, I believe, something like that. And I mean, even the cameraman seemed to get a sense of like, okay, this is the draw. Like, it was a lot more drama than you would expect from that short of a field goal. Like, Thomas Graham Jr. takes Camden Lewis and is like praying with him before that kick, literally. And that's telling. That being said, hey, maybe he'll get better. He's a sophomore. He's not the best kicker we've ever had. And it may cost us a game in the future, but hopefully not in the near future. That's what I have to... Bless his heart. What a great guy. We're also excited because we have our very own Australian punter. Of course we do. Tom Snee. That's about all I have to say about him. We've got an Australian punter.
Yeah.
So he'll probably be an MVP, you know?
Yeah, of course. Team MVP. Everyone loves an Australian punter.
He's going to make some like strip tackle and like save a game and run it back or something. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
They got superpowers. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, we basically ran through the entire team. I guess to end here, I wanted to ask you about your season outlook. What's like a realistic version of how the season plays out in your mind for the Ducks this year? I think a lot of people, and myself included, I think the Pac-12 North title, I think, runs through Oregon. Mm-hmm. I think it's Oregon's to lose right now. So that's my opinion on it. But I wanted your realistic take. But also, you know, we did the D&D stuff for all the listeners here who haven't heard. They've been doing a D&D run of the Pac-12 season. I hopped on and did the Cal episode. Mm-hmm. You should go listen to it. Super fun. It was really fun recording that episode.
And beat us. He beat the Ducks on an Oregon Duck podcast. If you're a Cal fan, you're going to love it. Trust me.
Yeah. I mean, so that being said, like, give us like your realistic projection of how you think the season plays out, and also just like your own like fantasy world of how everything plays out.
Well, I've been living in my own fantasy world in 2020, so this is perfect. Okay, so we're looking at it here. It's a short schedule. So for the six games currently on the list here, starting with Stanford, I am like down, 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 down on Stanford. I think it is like until Shaw is gone, I think that team is just circling the drain.
This is
frankly
why we're friends. This is exactly why we're friends.
Exactly. So Cal's beaten them. Everyone's beaten them. So, of course, Oregon is going to beat them. I mean, that being said, it's like, I don't know how much college football you've been watching so far, but like, this is the season where it's like, sure, like Stanford could beat Oregon week one. Like, who knows? It's with all this practice time. Like, that being said, they're not going to beat Oregon. So I think we're beating Stanford. Washington State, usually I'm much more afraid when the Pirates there, but like, come on, like new coach, new complete philosophy, getting off to a really weird start for Rolovich too. I just don't see Washington State being ready for Oregon, honestly. I don't think they're going to be able to install anything that'll be able to take advantage of this defense really, or have the talent to stop Oregon from, I don't know, just running up the gut a million times. Yeah. So I think we're beating them. UCLA, man, who would have thought, right? Like, Chip, I remember thinking that was like the best hire ever. I remember being like, holy shit. Like, oh, sorry. I don't know if you're laughing.
No, no, we're perfectly fine. Yeah, you're good.
Okay, good. I mean, that's the only way to put it. It's just, I remember being like, oh man, like Chip Kelly's not going to come to Oregon. Like, he's about to just lap us. He's in LA. Like, he doesn't have to recruit. Yeah. And I mean, he apparently still believes in the philosophy of he doesn't have to recruit. I don't know what he's doing down there. I am not feeling very threatened about UCLA right now. Oregon State, I think that's a possible loss. Obviously, it would be an upset by Oregon State. Their offense isn't what it was last season, but their defense is a little better. And it's weird. It's 2020. So we're probably gonna win that game that was once called the Civil War. But I mean, that could be a weird one. Oregon versus Cal and then Washington. Those are the final two ones. Those are clearly our biggest challengers here. I would assume we beat Cal, but so much craziness. And then against Washington, that really does kind of feel like everything's different there, but Jimmy Lake's been, I mean, I want to say we're going to beat Washington because I truly, truly hate Washington. So, I mean, I think odds are we're going 6-0, knock on wood. Odds are we're going 6-0. Who would we face in that Pac-12 championship game? My guess would be USC. It's a lazy guess, but it's either going to be ASU or USC or, and I would assume just from what we saw last season and just because it seems like Oregon's in a decent enough spot, I would assume we win that game. If I'm putting money on it, I'm not going to say Oregon's going to make it to the playoffs just because I can assume that they would have choose. There's a better fourth option out there for them, or we get a game canceled or we lose a game. But if we did get into the playoffs, hey, it's going to be so fun to watch us just get blown out by Clemson. Like, not even close. At least people will forget about that game because Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, they would all absolutely just blow the doors off of us. So I almost hope we go to just an upper tier bowl game and kind of like what we did last season. I mean, Rose Bowl would be off the table if we don't make it to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But it was, let's just say, it was kind of nice last season that we didn't have to go play Clemson. Because, man, I don't think we would have done better than Oklahoma, that's for sure. So I guess, I mean, this sounds ridiculous, but I guess my realistic non-homer, I'm doing air quotes for the people that can't see this, prediction would be 7-0, baby. Yeah. Send all your hate towards at Quack12 podcast, non-Oregon fans.
I mean, yeah, I don't think that's unrealistic.
Right? I mean,
I think it's perfectly within the realm of possibility.
Yeah. And we're not talking about a 12 game season, you know, and like all the stuff Oregon's dealing with as far as the weird 2020-ness, every other team is, and a lot of these other teams are not going to be doing better. Like, Yeah.
It's also the mayhem of like what happens with out of conference games too. Like we don't have that. And it's only six games. Yeah.
I mean, let me tell you, like, I was definitely like, oh, darn, we don't get to play Ohio State this season. Oh, shucks. I'm sure we would have taken it to them. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's the same for us, right? We would have played TCU this year. Oh, Cheez-It Bowl 2. Oh, great. Hey, yay.
Us non-Cal, non-TCU fans are dying for Cheez-It Bowl 2.0, man. I want to see Cal State take on TCU, you know?
Yes. Yes. That. Oh, yes. The Cal State t-shirts. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, with that, I think let me just ask you one last thing to close. I wanted to ask this question to all the people that we were interviewing. What's the one craziest, because it's 2020, right? What's the one craziest thing you think is going to happen in the Pac-12 this year? Just like, just out there. Just like, you know.
Just out there. See, this, this is the kind of stuff I like. I will say, putting on my 2020 vision here, I would say Colorado and Oregon State are going to be better than a lot of people think. I'll say that.
Okay.
And I'll, I mean, if we're going crazy, this is supposed to be crazy. Because both of those, I think a lot of people are like, yeah, six in the South, six in the North. I'm willing to say both those teams are going to be third place in the South, third place in the North. What do you think of that?
Wow.
What do you think of that?
That's a hot take.
And not only that, I know. Spicy. You wanted something spicy.
I did. And you gave it to me.
And not only that, I'm looking right now. I say Stanford has one win on the season. Woo! I don't know who it's coming to, but they have one win. Maybe against Washington State.
Ooh. Oh, I love it.
Right now.
I love it.
That was more for you, maybe.
Yes. But. Yes. I would love to see David Shaw on the hot seat.
I think if he wins one game, they're still going to be like, he's an outstanding gentleman and he'll take us where he needs to go.
Do they have enough fans to care? Anyone care?
I heard that they didn't even announce that the Stanford Stadium wasn't going to allow fans because they're like, well, I mean,
no one's going to show up.
Yeah. What's going to happen if we, you know what I mean? Yeah,
exactly.
That being said, with all this shit talking I'm doing, we're now definitely gonna lose to Stanford week one, so that's fun.
Well, it's a week away. We're recording on Thursday. One week away.
Ugh.
Pac-12 football is a week away. 9 a.m games are a week away.
Yeah, why not? I'm down. Whatever, Larry.
It's 2020. Do whatever you want, Larry. Do whatever you want.
Get some eyes. I like that it's not on the Pac-12 network. I don't know about you.
Yeah. It's a national televised every single game, which is easy to watch. But
yeah.
Well, thank you for spending some time with us, Adam. Where can people find you? Where can people listen to the Quack-12 podcast?
They can find me walking around in circles in my living room 24 hours a day, basically. On the internet, they can find me at Quack-12 Podcast on Twitter, obviously. And we got Quack-12Podcast.com. We got a Patreon. We're a very, very, very silly podcast that mainly talks about Oregon Ducks and then just some random stuff. We're currently wrapping up our Duck D&D series, which you were a wonderful guest on, despite beating the pants off of us. I think beating us like it was something like 21-0 or something, blanking us even. Where we simulate what would have been the 2020 season if it would have happened. The full 12-game original schedule by playing an actual roll-in-the-dice D&D game. It's been very fun. However, obviously, we're getting into actual football coverage now, too. So, yeah, and then also I'm the managing editor of Addicted to Quack, an SB Nation Oregon Ducks community. So, go over there. It's fun stuff.
Yeah, they're great. We call them CGB North. They call us Addicted to Quack South. It's a fun time. Well, once again, thank you for your time. I appreciate it, as always. And you're listening to you're now pretty much done listening to the Golden Bearcast, where you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on all of your streaming platform devices for podcasts and also on rightforcalifornia.com. We're doing watch-alongs on YouTube. So for all of the Cal games and possibly even for some other non-Cal games. So get us on there. Subscribe to us on YouTube. It's youtube.com/rightforcalifornia. We got 100 subscribers yesterday, woo! Which means we have a custom URL.
Nice.
So that is what we aim for. So subscribe. So we'll let you know when we're doing those watch-alongs. And that's it. And as always, go Bears.
Go Ducks.